I can't. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I honor Pastor Woodrow Walker and Sister Francine. Glory be to God. They are such real people. You know, a thought came in my mind when he was talking about coming from the low end. Because we're going to talk about the divine nature today. There's something God had. There's an appointment. Everything you said in the intro is what my heart's been crying and bleeding and praying. And we're going to release something today. Basically you. But when I watch him, because Francine said some funny things to me the other day. Now, because of, I'm talking about divine nature. Watch this. Woodrow Walker is the coolest preacher in the world. That brother, he got that walk going on. But, okay, his natural physical history, he says, in the low end. But see, he transcended that end. He walked like he's a millionaire when I first met him. we met from place to place. Praise God. And we got it going. And one thing for sure, he mentioned my wife. He's telling the truth. I couldn't remember all the buildings and places because it's been some years, you know. And Brother Jerome was here at the choir rehearsal yesterday. He said, because Francine asked me, you were with us at Peyton Road. I'm going, only thing in my mind, Peyton Place, that's old soap opera or something from TV. You know, he said, Peyton. Then he started telling me, you know, Peyton Road, where the round Episcopal Church was. I said, I guess I was. That was Peyton Road. And so I blessed them and thanked them because that's where my wife walked in. I'm leading praise and worship just like worship today is so full of God. I'm full of God and praise and worship. Then when I landed on the planet, I went, wow. So I met the sister, and she's been a blessing in my life. We have four children, two girls and two boys. And our girls' names are almost the same as pastor's children. Krista, I have a Crystal. You got a Karis, I have a little Michelle. But Crystal was our born in Atlanta daughter, and God's doing great things in her. But when I came in the door, the closer we came to the sanctuary, tears began to flow because of you and the anointing of God and what God wants to birth today. And then sometimes, you know, you get busy and you kind of forget things, but my brother, Elijah Fryer, I met him and Julia. We were on Campbellton Road. And Julia used to always look at me and Elijah and say, you guys both got that big forehead. And so she always used to pop me and pop her husband. And it was so precious. It was such love. And Francine was speaking to us. This is the kind of love you have in your pastor and his wife. We were talking about Cheryl just the other day. And she talks about, we don't get to talk every week and every year sometimes. But when we call, when they call, it's just like old week on the telephone, you know. And that's the kind of spiritual relationships I was birthed with in Portland, Oregon. I have people I hadn't seen for years, people going on world missions with, people that we street and park. But we don't have to make any excuses when we see each other. We just see each other, start loving each other, start talking like we've been in the house for 20 years together. That's what real fellowship does. That's what the real nature of God does. Then I find that the daughters are similar as some of the things the Lord has my daughter doing. So I talked to her yesterday, and she said, wow, so praise God. But I don't want to get sidetracked on me, my history, but I just love this church. And the anointing that's on your leaders. Because as Pastor said, I've been doing a lot of praying lately to find out what I want to do. The Lord showed me that pastoring was a class for me to teach. And I find out, and I listen to all the stories and the things I did when I first heard on the radio when I got here in Atlanta and was trying to, I went to some churches and I went to one and the deacons were outside giving you direction with them cigar. The church in that way. And I'm going, well, what you doing? You know, what's going on here? And it wasn't right. So I hungered for more and went to a few other churches, and I went to one that was so metaphysical. I said, what in the world? They took me to, I think it was called Hillside or something like that. I don't even know if it's still operational, but I had people I worked with, let's go to church, you're talking about God, let's go to church. So I go to church, and it was just some crazy stuff. And then afterward, the guy that took me to church went in his pocket, you want to hit this? Pulled out some marijuana. I said, what? I see the kind of church you're going to. I said, not here. I said, Lord, we got to do better than this. So Brother Earl Johnson was on the radio. And so they were having the service, because like I said, a lot of it was going on in the apartments. The services were elsewhere. Other services were on in the apartment and so forth. And that brother began to preach some things that I had preached and learned and knew, and because I'm from the West Coast, he's from the West Coast, and all these things start preaching, and Pastor and they just said, we want to get out of bondage, and we knew this thing, so they were just open. So Pastor was preaching things, I'm in the back yelling, amen! I'm just the loudest guy in the room. I'm a visitor. I'm the loudest guy in the room. They start singing songs. I'm just singing, yeah! And they kept looking back like, well, who is this? You know, did he put a plant in this church? You know. But then I talked to them afterwards. Pastor Walker told me where he was, what was going on. I said, I'll be there. And I was there for a few years there until God started doing some other things, leading me out. I went to a few other places, taught a few other places. But I praise God for him, because of them. You're here, and bless God, I'm here. The anointing of God has landed. There's some things the pastor was saying. I said, Lord, he's setting up this message, things that we need to hear. And when I saw, my sister Carol sent me kind of at the program, like the poster, and what really dug deep in my heart was this, you know, the manifest presence of God. So get ready, because I got a secret for you. The manifest presence of God is you. The manifest presence of God is you. It's because we have problems in church services. I remember there used to be a brother, he'd dance up the Hucklebuck. He was dancing and doing everything. And everything now, he don't know if he's a man or a woman. And preaching weird doctrine. Because our problem is, we hook ourselves to events. Hello? Can I be who God has called me to be? Because I'm a bigot anyway. So I want you to be ready for this. I appreciate my in-laws, a couple of Cheryl's sisters here, praise the Lord, Sarah and Deborah, praise God. As we say in Georgia, Dabra. But Sarah is the older sister. My wife is the baby sister. But praise God. But I'm trying to get you to understand right now. Yeah, I'm not... I was going to maybe try to squeak out a song, but there's something more important. Is you knowing who you are in Christ Jesus? Is you knowing that we're singing all the songs about the love of God, how God loves, how we love Jesus? But the Lord told me to tell you this secret. He's just as mad about you. See, that's something we don't understand all the time. Even a lot of times in our praise, we're trying to bring it up to a place to prove to God that we love him. Hopefully, maybe causing him to do something for us, but you don't understand. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Like Pastor's talking about the passion. He loves you that way. All he wants you to do, return it some and see what happens. Return it some and see what happens. Like he talked about when my wife walked into the service, I'm boing. 35 years later, last Monday, we've been married. Amen. Just like the pastor and his wife, 38 years and beautiful children. But he loves you. The manifest presence of God is you. You got to understand this. He wants you like jet streams, and you know when jets go by in the sky, you can always tell which way they went because you see the jet stream. God wants you to be that jet stream for him. Because you're the manifest presence of God. Jesus died so you could be manifested. You know, we had to go through the Old Testament prophets and all that kind of thing. And like some people today think that a New Testament prophet should be a fortune teller, telling you everything you should be doing, where you should be going. And if it doesn't bear witness with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, you better turn that bozo off. Because he'll have you doing all kind of crazy things. When I got first born again, there was a young man. He was kind of like the radio weatherman and all this kind of thing. And he got saved, and they got saved, and they got all excited and so forth. And he told me about one of his stories one day. He thought the Lord told him to climb out on a flagpole in Portland, Oregon. You know, because here, the buildings in Atlanta are finally getting tall because of the heat and because of the lack of technology called air conditioning. But now buildings are bigger. But Portland, we didn't need air conditioning. It was always cool. So we had these big buildings. He climbed up on this, in this building, and went out on one of those horizontal flagpoles. Got climbing because the Lord told him to climb out on a flagpole. For what? To prove what? To prove what? Then he's scared. He can't get down. They had to get the fire department to get him down. You hear what I'm saying? You are the manifest presence of God. You are it. Let me show you something. 2 Peter chapter 1. Because if I don't give you any word, I'm just a comedian or something. I ain't right. If all I do is say funny related things. But the purpose for this ministry and all the things is Pastor Walker is a designed teacher, good diction, good instruction, good teacher. God raises up some people like me that kind of seem to be a little off kilter to get your fire going. And then when I came here, I got here Friday, came by the church, came with Brother Jimmy, Sister Janice, she was already here, but he's one of the people that he reminded me, and I'm just drinking in things. When I got here, because I've been praying, I want to know what I'm doing in my life. I found I'm a starter. See, I don't have to have instruments. I don't have to have nothing. I can go anywhere where there's a group of people in their house, in their apartment, in a building, in the field, wherever, under a tent, wherever, and sing songs. If the musicians don't show up, I'll show up. Because I'll teach them scripture songs. And Brother Elijah was ministering and said, you know, there were times he had to go through the fight, but I remember those songs. My songs were not, I woke up in the morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. That's good. But I teach scripture songs because that's what Jesus used to defeat the devil in the wilderness. That's what you use to defeat the devil in your life, are scripture songs. The scripture. What's a better way to learn scripture? Just like what society has done to our children for so many, the last 20 years. They get us rapping and singing it, so kids know more about that stuff than they know about math. You can't, what's three times three? I don't know, but mama gonna shoot you or something like that, you know, them songs. But they know that, but they don't know that. They don't know the other things that are important to life. The 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. To them, listen to this. Now those them are us. Listen to what you got. To them that have obtained like precious faith, listen, with us. It's not separate. It's with us. How? With us. How? Through the righteousness of God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to this. The word grace has been said several times this morning. Listen to this. Grace and peace be multiplied. Not added. Not added, but multiplied. What do you want? 2 plus 2? Or 2 times 12? Or you want 2 plus 12 for 14? Or 2 times 12 for 24? It's multiplication. God has multiplied. Listen to this. Watch this. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Listen to this. According as his divine power according as his divine power, not yours, not mine, not government authority, not civic authority, but according as his divine power hath given unto us. Has what? Given. Not something you have to seek for. God already gave it. Has given unto us, listen to this, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But really, the word pertain is italicized. So that means that the translators added it hoping to, you know, make it clear. But no, if we take the pertain out, let's look at this. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things unto life and what? Godliness. Not ungodliness, but godliness. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Virtue is the word for power. Remember when the woman with the issue of blood touched the robe of his garment and Jesus said, asked his disciples, who touched me? They went to the natural. Lord, how can you ask us who touched this? There's a bunch of folks out here. How do we know who touched you? How can we see that? What did Jesus say? I know somebody touched me because what? Because virtue went out of me into that woman. I sensed the virtue that went out of me. Guess what? He's given you virtue. That healing power that's in Jesus, it's in you. He's multiplied it to you. He's given it to you. Because we look for events and stuffings and things and stuff. And, you know, we go through so many things as infantile Christians, you know. There's a prayer craze. So how many times a day you pray? How much do you pray? That's, they're asking me about intimate information. It's not their business. Oh, Pastor Walker, how many times should I make love to my wife in a month? Come on. That's your wife. That's your husband. Why are you asking somebody else about your intimate relationship when God has given you one? God's given you one. Plug into your Father. The New Testament actually tells us we pray without what? Ceasing. Okay, here we are. We're always stuck on stuff. You driving your car. You know how bad this driving is here in Atlanta. I thought it was bad when I was here and I went to Texas. I thought it was bad, but y'all win. Y'all win. Y'all make lanes where there ain't no lanes. But anyway, so this is prayer. So somebody can recognize I'm praying. The real prayer is pray without ceasing. I tell you, if you went into your tongues when you was driving down the road in Georgia, you might do better. You know what I'm saying? See, that's something you can do all the time. You can do under your breath. You don't have to walk in the lunchroom. Come on, folks. Come on. Let's be saved. Let's live saved. You know, I grew up amongst some people I met were just ultra Pentecostal. Can't go to lunch with you. Can't go to coffee with you. Can't do nothing but talk about you. No. We are the virtue. We're the presence. They try to criticize Jesus about the people he was with. He didn't criticize them. He blessed them. He blessed them. Remember the woman, the Martha that broke the oil and anointed his feet and so forth? And they, Jesus, you wasting that oil. We could use that oil, raise, make some money with that oil. We could have fried some catfish or something. We could have done something with that oil and you wasting our time with that. Jesus said, this woman, what she's done, she anointed me for my death, my burial. And guess what? He said, she'll be a memorial preached in the gospel, but it's very seldom preached. Because we like the things and the stuff that looks important. But you're important. You got to grow to that. Understand right now, today, God loved you so much so that he turned the planet over to us. Pastor said it. We want the power of God, we want the will of God to be on earth as it is in heaven. Do you understand that? Jesus prayed that. You are to be like he was. See, the problem is, he was one of us, so he always got mobbed and crowded in and so forth, and they looked to him. but all of you have the same power. Did he not say that when he raised from the dead? Did he not say, these signs shall follow them that believe? And my name, his name, you will what? Cast out devils. You will speak with new tongues. You're not talking about going to a linguistic school. You're talking about Holy Ghost language. You'll speak with new tongues. You'll cast out devils. You lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Some instantaneous recoveries, some process starts. But you're responsible for that. It's not your job to commission God, go do that. That's why Jesus came, so you could do that. You are his manifest glory. You know what glory is? It's an outshining. It's a worth. It's a weight. It's a wealth. That's what you are. You're the worth. You're the weight. You're the wealth of God. But if we're so stuck on us, we can't share it. We can't share it. Remember he told us, we'll do greater works than he did. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these, shall he do? Did he not say that? You're supposed to. Peter proved it. Jesus didn't walk by anybody in a shadow heal him, but Peter did. You should. That's why when we're singing and the pastor was talking, we get rid of us so he can take full control. You see, when I was studying this, because I love the grace, the first place you really hear and understand about grace is in Exodus. When Moses is telling God, I want to see your face, I want to see, and God told him, my grace will be with you. See, what we think of is grace is the instrument that God uses when we fail. So we think grace is God's band-aid kit that we carry around with us. But grace is God's presence. That's what it means. When Moses asked, I want your grace, he said, God told Moses in Exodus 33, you can read it. He talked about, my grace is with you. You found grace in my sight. Well, I want to know about your grace. God says, my grace is your, my presence is grace in so many words. So we baptized it. We made grace as, what did we make it? What's that word? Unmeritable favor. Unmerited favor. It is merited because Jesus bought it. It's merited. He gave it to you. Had nothing to do with you. Had nothing to do with how much you fail or you don't fail or you thought you failed. It's he gave it to us. That's what he died for. To bring heaven on earth just like he did. He came here. He operated in heaven's economy. And we should be doing the same thing. The wise ideas and so forth. The wise ideas and so forth. Proverbs tells us in 8:11, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Let me tell you something, since it's us is in here, black folks ought to be ashamed. I'm about white man's world, white man job, the man, give me a break. You are connected to God. You're connected to God. Almighty God is your father. And guess what? Where does he live? He lives in you. The whole principle of the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was to bring heaven in you. We like the dog chasing our tail. You ever had a dog chase its tail or a cat trying to play? You know, it's just going. It was, I used to always ask the question, well, if that cat or that dog gets their tail, what are they going to do with bite? You hurting yourself. Amen. How many times have we hurt ourselves spiritually? Because we don't recognize who we are. But grace and peace, but guess what? When Pastor Walker's word becomes your word, you are on the road. Because how many times have we seen the churches competing against churches? My pastor said. What did Jesus say? What did the word of God say? What are we teaching for? So we can have a club? Fan club? Sign my name on a piece of paper. Give me my name. No. You are filled with all of what God is. Let's look at this. Let's go back here. That's why I named this message for us today, Divine Nature. Because the first thing that pop out is God's nature. But no, what God wants you to do is realize that his nature is your nature. You are the manifest of his glory. Yes, Proverbs 8:12. I say 11 to that. Thank you. I like good technology. Cool. God says, I wisdom dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Amen. Now look, verse 4 and 2 Peter 1, whereby are given unto us exceeding great. If you got a great raise on your job, would that be good? Wouldn't that be good? I'm calling you in the office. What did I do wrong? Nothing. I want to give you a great raise. Woo. But God says, I'm calling you into my fullness so I can give you an exceeding great raise. Beyond great. You know, what's the scripture in Ephesians? Exceedingly, abundantly, beyond. Come on. Why do we let that stuff hit us up here and just confused? What are you talking about? He's talking about, here's another one. I was reading it because I knew I was going to get up here and the Holy Ghost started doing some other things. So I'm going to preach you 10 sermons in one in a few minutes. So, but in Ephesians chapter 1, we hear this prayer, right? In Ephesians chapter 1, we hear some prayers. And what Paul's praying for the church, you should be praying for yourself. And one of the things that God said, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Be enlightened, that you might understand what his purpose is, basically, in the saints. You understand? We're the church. We're the body of Christ. I don't want to make anyone angry, but I've studied and found this one out. Because so many years, we went by old knowledge. Okay? And so we get really excited. But we are the body of Christ. A lot of places we're told we're the bride of Christ. But if you go to the book of Revelation, it says, I will show you the Lamb's wife that comes down out of heaven, the new Jerusalem. But you are the body of Christ and your members in particular. Every one of you are a functioning member. In Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us, let us endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace until we all come to the knowledge of the Son of God. Listen, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's your goal. But that's Jesus. I can't be like Jesus. Do not confuse the contract. You are to be like Jesus. You are his body. You are. You are. And guess what? He also in Ephesians chapter 3, he prayed that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. You read enough of those scriptures, you say, wait a second, God's plan was for all of him and all he has and all he knows and all he does to be done through us. Paul just put it all over the New Testament. We are the members of the body of Christ. And in what he tried to explain to us, the eye can't say to the hand or the ear or the foot or any part of the body, I have no need of thee. There is no greater part. Try to live without your eyes. Now, if you were blind, we understand that. There's help for you. But we're talking spiritual now. We're the body of Christ. You don't kick out your eyes. You don't kick out your ears. You don't throw away your whatever. You understand that? You are the body of Christ and your members in particular. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. The whole spirit world of Satan, the negative part, they're glad when we don't know what we're doing. They're happy when we build everything to our name. Because you know what that does? It takes the pressure off of him. I ain't got to do nothing. These turkeys are tearing up themselves. I ain't got to fight them. Their thoughts and everything, their thoughts, their words, their actions make them sick. They stay sick. They're always telling you, you make me sick. Say, great. Then you're going to go, oh, God, heal me. Then you turn around and tell somebody else, you make me sick. What you going to do? What you going to do? You going to be the full nature of God? Let me get you the scripture. God said, I really got to do this one. Okay, I'll do it. Listen, you got to get this one. This is really good. Verse 4 and 2 Peter. Thank you for the scriptures. Ephesians 4:3 was one of the ones I was quoting. So 4:3 to about 16, when it tells us about This is why you should honor your pastor and all the other associate members and things to do here, because if you really look at Ephesians chapter 4, we're the gift that God left the church when Jesus ascended on high and gave gifts unto men. And the gifts he gave was apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Those are the gifts. See, we want a birthday gift. My birthday, where my gift? Where my card? You got a gift that we're not even using. We got a fivefold ministry gift. You got a gift sitting right there in the first row. That's a gift. That's why you honor. Not because it's a church tradition, because you honor Jesus. The ministry gifts are what Jesus gave to the church to make us functional. Everybody got that? Okay. Now let me finish verse 4 in 2 Peter 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers. You know, that's an old English word for what? Partners. You know, when husband and wife have a joint account, they both have rights to the account, to the money and the right to check, correct? If you're a business partner, and if you're 50-50 partners, you both have rights to that business. Well, we are partners of the divine nature. The divine nature. Your partner of the divine nature, having, listen, here it is, because I don't want to take too long. Let me know if I'm going too long. Don't let me go too long. Look at this. We are partakers of the divine nature in verse 4, having, here's your escape, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So what is lust? We're not talking sexual lust. Lust is a pressure and a hard desire for things. Like Pastor said, have a passion for God. So let's break this down. You overtake the world because Satan comes at you with pressure. Pressure. Okay, he tells all of our wonderful George drivers, you better turn right now because you ain't going to get in that lane. So you don't use your blinker. See, that causes evil. Are you listening to me? Pastor Walker told me he was coming to pick me up. He said, man, I got ran off the road. You know? Why would somebody run you off the road? Because their lust is all about them. Because Satan then told them, if you don't get off of that exit right there, the road's going to disappear. It ain't never going to be there again. I mean, that's the kind of mentality. If I don't turn now, I'll never get to turn. Man, you got miles of freeway. If you miss that one, go down to the next exit. You and come back. But no, that's what lust does. Lust tells women, you don't look good enough. Lust tells men, you need a big, longer fishing pole. You know, can't even use the baby one you got. You need a bigger car. Y'all know with bigger, more expensive cars comes more money that you got to put into them things. Amen. But yet, because the pressure of lusting after stuff instead of lusting after God. See, because if God was first, you'd recognize my God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And since God will meet them, I don't have to. Amen. Then we come, you know, he might not always come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Why would he not come when you want him? If you call somebody, you ask them to come, they don't know who you are. Who are you? I ain't coming nowhere. But if God and you have a love relationship, he's coming. He's coming. But see, it's the pressures of lust tell you, you got to have it now. And why do you got to have it? Because they got one. They got one, so I got to got one. Stop. Does everybody understand? That's not how God operates. He doesn't operate by pressure. What is faith? It's believing what God already said. If he said that he meets all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, then that's what he said. Now, the problem is not in God. It's right up there, isn't it? It's between the ears because somebody's told you, just on that line, the Lord was really telling me some stuff to share with you. And we changed our TV thing because we're just too much, it's too much money. So we got, just bared it down and went from UVerse down to DirecTV or something. So we had, less things to mess with you. So what we did, what I saw last week, between the news, they were doing something with RuPaul. This thing that don't know what it is. And RuPaul was having a major contest with all these things that think they women's, and they're having a contest. And it's all over TV. I said, Lord Jesus. See, those are pressures and lusts and thoughts and time wasters, position takers from you knowing what God wants you to know. That's what those say. It keeps it coming. Too much news. I remember where I grew up in Portland, we had like three stations when I grew up. Now everybody's in there. And then, these news, NBC5 or whatever the numbers are. Why you got to have news 4, 5, 6 times a day? We used to have it in the evening when stuff was over. Now we got early morning. Then we got lunchtime. We know somebody gonna send between lunch and 3, so it's on at 3. Then it's on at 6. 6 wasn't good enough, so it's on at 8. Then in Dallas, it's at 8 and 9. The people, you just said it. You just said all the stuff you showed it again at 9. So what's the purpose of that, though? You got to understand your enemy. What's the purpose of that? Just get you totally out of the will of God, out of your purpose. My God, what happened? Lord Jesus. Golly, did you hear that? But when it's time to witness, you can't say nothing. Oh, Lord Jesus, when it's time to tell who Jesus is, who the Lord is, and what empowers your life, and what God has done for you. Last thing I remember was like a taxi cab ran into a bus down there by the Martin Luther King Center. That's not the most important thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? You are the manifest glory of God. And you know what? If I was the devil, I'd be doing the same thing. I'd be confusing you, taking you away from your purpose, from the skills and talents and the abilities God has given you to do something. I'd take you so far away. Instead of you being a blessed member of the body of Christ, I'd make you think you're supposed to be on Food Network or something. Well, I get you to, you cook some good chicken. So what you need to do, start you a chicken restaurant. That's fine if that's what you're called to, because you can be a blessing in there. You can be, if that's what God's saying to you. I make silly examples so you can kind of think bigger. You know what I'm saying? So when God's talking to you, you can operate. Amen. And the things that Satan has tricked us into are so ridiculous that I was riding with the pastor and Francie yesterday. We went to get some lunch. We're talking. We saw a situation at the old building. I ain't going to tell it all. I shouldn't, right? I shouldn't. Now, Shalita, is she here? Are you the same Shalita here? The Shalita? Which one? So you better hide because I'm about to get you. No, I'm just messing. You're back there. Well, praise the Lord. So we called because we're concerned because, I was in that building and I remember coming by because I was already going. I came back in Dallas and I came for something. I was there and I remember seeing Elijah again and Pastor sharing with me about the ability of Elijah and how that they learn to read blueprints and build out a building. That's God. See, that's what God wants to get on. So you have to go out and pay Joe Architect and all his folks all that money. So we went by and the pastor was showing me. He said, there's people living by the building, living on the building. So we went up and there they were. And so they were kind of wondering who I was. And their little attack dog was barking at the pastor. Rack, you don't over here. Rack, get away from me. I'm protecting these ladies. So I'm going, okay. So I'm watching. So pastor explained who he was. Yeah, I was Shalita's first volunteer and everything. So pastor was really concerned, I want to do something. So he called, and the sister said, we supplied people. We had people that wanted them to come with no money. We had houses for them. And you look at them, see, when you look at the flesh, you look at the outside, oh, them poor peoples
Life is wrong. The government is wrong. Somebody did them folks is wrong. See, that's what Satan wants to keep you in the flesh realm. But the God side of the situation said, Sister Shalita said, I know who they are. We have places for them, two distinct places. But the places didn't want their dog, the guard dog. The guard. You would rather sleep in front of a vacant building outside, live on welfare, and all that kind of thing, rather than just, they got shelters for dogs. The dog going to have to go with you. Take the dog to a shelter. You mean you're willing to live outside for years? For years? Because of your dog? Your love's mixed up. I'm just telling you like it is. Same thing with the things of God. We're willing to live like, I'm talking about spiritually, not naturally. But that's what cross-culture is about. So we won't think, I'm blessed because I got some stuffers. No, you're blessed and you don't open the flood tide of blessings for other folks that need what you have. We ain't talking about bank accounts and money, but something about God start obeying his will and the bank accounts start growing when you're starting to obey. But you mean to tell me for some dog doctrine or some dog theory, I'm willing not to receive what God has for me? Are you kidding? So that was a live situation to me. I'm going, See, the Lord said, James, you need to travel. You might hurt somebody. Because you're nicer when you travel. But I just thought about this sister and her sister are willing to live on the street rather than give up the dog. What kind of old religious traditions do you have that you ain't willing to give up? You'd rather live out on the spiritual street. Well, I'm close to a church. This used to be a bonnie life. I'm close to the church. Give up the dog. Is everybody listening? Give up the dog. Give up those ideas. Pastor Walker don't do it this way. Pastor Walker don't say that because Pastor Walker's not that other pastor. You say God led you here? Give up the dog. Everybody listening? When God shows you something to enlighten you through his word and what you want to do, give up the dog. You are full of God's divine nature. Let me do some quick things. You ever heard St. John 7:37? When Jesus was talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. I like to study things. I said, that's great. They're living, and there's things in Jeremiah talking about how God, I mean, I got that at Abundant Life. I was studying something. I said, wow, when we were at the church on Candler Road, the free-for-all. And I was studying something. I said, what? When God started talking about we're his vessels, and he said, you guys are messing around with these old water pots that can hold no water. God said, in your old ways, your dogs and your religion can't hold the living water. Then the New Testament tells us those rivers of living water flow out of us. So I said, that's good. As I got older, I kept looking. A lot of times when I was in Dallas, I started preaching on this again. I wanted the word belly. What's he talking about? This river of living water will flow out of your belly. So I went on a straight diet and got my belly real big. No, I'm messing with you. If I eat some more food, my belly will have more room for God. Nah, I'm messing around. Because actually, I've gotten thinner. And my wife, the last few weeks, yo, sister, damn, you skinny now. First, she's, look at your stomach now. But first, when it was bigger, you need to work on that. So, all right. So then now she said, you need to get some more food. I hope Pastor Walker takes you some places. You need to start eating some food. So I told her, we want some places to eat good. But the real story I'm trying to tell you, the belly here, the inner belly, is called in the Greek language, it's called the coleum, C-O-L-E-U-M, the coleum. And this is what it means. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? You know what it means? It means heaven connected. Heaven connected. All of God's doctrines, All of God's teachings, all of God's word, all of God's expectation is that you are fully connected to him. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So you know what he's saying to you in the public world? Out of your belly shall flow God. Are you listening? Out of you shall flow God. Divine nature, virtue, virtue. You've been given virtue. That same thing that the widow touched when she touched the hem of his garment. You got the same thing in you. It's not in the clothes, it's in you. It's in you. It's in you. Glory be to God, it's in you. It's in you. I want you to get that. See, because if I just tell you, this is how we are religiously. Oh, we're going to talk about God's nature today. So you start conjuring up all these pictures about what God is, how long his beard is, you know, what it looked like around his throne and all that kind of stuff, and try to think what God is. No, God wants you to think what you are in him. Do you realize that God became flesh, the man Christ Jesus, to die in our place? Because we know Adam messed it all up. Because Adam let his wife buy a lie, and then he bought it. He bit the apple. It really never was no apple. We all know that, right? The Bible don't say it wasn't nobody's apple. Because I wish it was apple, so Adam's apple would have really been stuck in his throat. Maybe somebody could have hit him on the back and knock it out. But it wasn't no apple. It was a forbidden fruit. It was the lie. God knows the moment you take this fruit, you'll be like him, and he don't want you like him. Do you understand the whole New Testament is telling you you are like him? You are him, him in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you. You are the glory. You are the manifest presence. See, because sometimes when we want to show or somebody else to do it, then we get caught. Because, you know, you have a special guest speaker or somebody come to church and people get caught up. Or some person that when you first met you, you know, they was really weird and into themselves. They'll pull people away from churches because we in the church haven't recognized that anointing, that presence, that power is in you. Amen. It's in you. And that's what I want you to see. That's what I came to give you. And I look at this, let me cross-reference another story. So I look up grace and peace. We all know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And you know the way we played with it in religion, Shadrach, Meshach, and a big Negro, you know, we just keep playing that stuff. Then that kind of stuff get into my little childlike mind. So I'm reading it, I said, Shadrach, Meshach, and a big Negro. That's not what God wanted me to see. It wasn't about no big Negro. It was about some men that trusted God. I got to show you this. If you got your Bible, I got to show you this. Thank you, Lord. You got to see this. Go with me to Daniel. And thank you, Krista, because your card kept the place for me. I want you to see something. I'm going to try to read this and slow myself down. I want you to see this. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. Now remember, the same plight happened to Daniel. That king was devil-led. Where he was is where Iraq is today. That was that same area. And so they did not bow down and worship any other god. Is that right? They wouldn't do it. Everybody got it? So check this out. Verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his, listen to this, who has sent his angel, I want to tie you to this, sent his angel and delivered his servants. Simon Peter said, he's an apostle and a servant. You got to get the passion for God, as pastors told you, and a servant's heart. One of the brothers on the video, the feedback, was talking about servant, servant. Even a deacon in the New Testament, the Greek word is diakonos, which means janitor. We're servants. Jesus came to serve. We're caught up on the old side. We think we're supposed to be superstars. But his servants, and listen to what else they did, that trusted in him. God's real servants trusted in him, okay? And have changed the king's word. They changed the king's decree and yielded their bodies that they, and yielded their bodies? See, the only thing we can think in the Old Testament and other world religions, yielding your body is like, you know, to do something, run a water hose up your nose or do something really crazy, you know, or shave off all your hair. I used to work for a man in Atlanta. He was a Muslim. And when they go do their pilgrimage in Mecca, this guy had hair all over his face. Everything, but to go there, you got to shave everything off for them. So you can tell when it's of God and it's not of God. See, Satan, the only thing he can do, like he got Eve and Adam, he can only mess with your outside, fleshly, carnal man. That's why when Jesus rebuked him, he said, Satan, you only savor the things that be of man, not the things that be of God. But here we run around in the New Testament church savoring things that be of man and not things that be of God. So God's servants trusted him and they yielded their bodies. Well, how can we yield our bodies? Fasting, praying, and sometimes when your flesh gets gigged up, they have to just have the newest things, tell it no. Some of y'all need to learn to tell that body no. And when it wants to argue and fuss and fight and call, tell it no. You know, we pray the prayer, Lord, don't put any evil thing before my eyes. Well, you don't put nothing evil before your eyes. When David was praying, he didn't have pay-per-view or a bunch of internet and TV and stuff. David didn't have it. So you tell yourself no. That's how you get your body to obey. That's what fasting is doing. A lot of times we think, the more we fast, the more God going to do something for me. No, that's not for that. It's for you. We fast to chasten our flesh, to get your flesh under control. To get your flesh under control. Not, you ain't going to control God with no fast. Okay, Lord, I can't talk no more. I've been fasting so long. Stop it. That's not why you do it. You do it for you so you can be ready for him. Because, listen, if you don't listen to you, you sure ain't going to listen to God. If you can't turn down nothing, you can't turn down a plate, if you can't tell you no, if you can't tell your temper to shut up, if you can't tell your sassy, saucy words to shut up, how in the world are you going to stand before somebody and show them the power of God when you ain't got done? When you're not under control. See, so you obey as a servant. You bring your body under subjection. Amen. And we're not talking about, it's not size, it's not looks, it's not pretty, it's not male, it's not female. It's you. You know what's wrong with you. See, we've been playing that prophet's game in the New Testament. If don't nobody tell me, then don't nobody know it. God already knows it. By the time he got to have somebody to tell you, listen to this. By the time God has to have somebody tell you, you already on the last string on that rope. And you already convinced yourself you're right anyhow. So by the time somebody told you, you ain't going to believe God know-how. And you mess around and miss the switch. All I got to do is this. Like, over there. Y'all should know what I'm talking about without being ugly and calling folks' names. I'm talking over there. Not far from here. You should love God so much that you chasten yourself with that passion. You mean, my wife, I ain't got no desire for no other woman. You mean, I said something when I married her. Ooh, Lord, you doing good. But I also agreed to be with her forever. And I agreed that word, you know, that D word, that word is not coming up. I told my wife, that's my covenant. You'll never hear it. You'll hear from somebody else, but you ain't going to hear from me. Because I'm not going to do it. See, my word meant something. Tell the pastor I'm going to be there on time. Your word should mean something. Excuse me, that was in Pastor James things. I ain't guest speaker right now. I just shifted. I'm Pastor James now. I'm your pastor's buddy. If your word ought to mean something. If get out of CPT. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Get out. God might have a terminally ill person come right down here. But you can't even make your body get to church on time. So how you going to talk to a devil? You come out of there, devil. Devil said, you know we was hanging out. We've been hanging out all the time. You just can't turn coat on me that fast. Because if your word don't mean nothing, we've made the righteousness of God. We're kings in authority. But a king's word has power. But if his word don't mean nothing, all the forces in the universe don't believe. They don't believe you. They don't trust you. Because you don't trust you. If you've ever played sports and been an athlete, I used to run track a little bit. And my two sons ran it. One of them, the oldest one, was a really good sprinter. The other one was a middle distance guy. But one time I had somebody make me think that this other guy, other two guys in the other lane, was faster than me. So this is what I did. I believed he was faster than me, so I acted like it. You know, I made pretty starts from the blocks, and I made it look good. Like, ooh, that brother, I heard people, ooh, that brother fast, that brother probably gonna win. I'm gonna bet on that brother. So I'm back thinking all crazy stuff first. They're faster than me. Now I'm the greatest guy. My mind was all messed up. When the gun went off, everybody said, oh, Lord. But I was smart. I was smart and religious. The thing to do right here is pull a fake hamstring pull. Some of y'all, you know what I'm talking about. And you know what my joy was? And the whole thing was to hear people when I went by the stand, supposedly limping, I bet if that brother hadn't pulled that muscle, he'd have won. I went for the fake trophy in my mind instead of being where God wants me to be. Don't buy no more lies. Don't lie to yourself. Become available for God. Are we ready to roll? Praise the Lord. I hope something that I've said would touch your heart. I want you to stand up because I want you to understand that God's glory is manifested in you. And I want you to receive that challenge. I want you to take some of these same scriptures. I want you to go look it up. And you cross-reference, they'll tell you all over the Bible, God's glory is you. God's love is you. He loves you more than you think you love him. He loves you so much, he's trusted you with the kingdom. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth, just like it's where? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for us, the people of God, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we'll come to that place to reconcile with you and take our place to be full of your glory, full of your virtue, passing it out, sharing it with people that don't know you, and enlightening people that do know you that there's more to be had. Lord, we give up our dogs and all of our little religion that we might walk in your fullness. Father, I thank you so much for this church, for this ministry, for this worldwide ministry. I bless it in Jesus' name. I impart the increase of your anointing, the increase on your people, the increase of the glory of God, the manifestation of your fullness in Jesus' name on these people right now. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.